Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to the Lord.
Peter approached Jesus and asked him, Lord, my brother sins against me. How often must I forgive him? As many as 7 times. Jesus answered, I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him, and he said, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, pay back what you owe. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed, went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart. When Jesus finished these words, he left Galilee and went to the district of Judea across the Jordan. The Gospel of the Lord. I think all of us have probably done this in our lives, playing with dominoes. Dominoes. Say, for example, you line up 20 dominoes in a row and you knock down one, what's going to happen to the other 19? They're all going to fall down, right? It's called the domino effect. They're going to fall down. So one domino affects one, each one of those 20 dominoes affects each other. We can apply that to our own life in the sense that our actions affect others. Either we cast lights or we cast shadows. It's either one or the other, as the poet would say. Okay? Either we cast shadows or we cast light. Either we're sowing the good seed or we're sowing weeds. Either one or the other. I think it'd be a good book to write to see how one saint helped another one to become a saint. I think it'd be a good book. No? Do you know any? How about Dominic Savio? Who helped him? Greatest man in the 19th century, John Bosco, right? How about Saint Benedict? Twin sister. Yeah? Benedict helped Scholastica, right? How about we're watching Chosen, you know, the apostles, Peter and James and John, those were two brothers who were helping each other to grow in holiness. Very interesting how at the end of this month, did you ever hear of Saint Monica? None of you? Oh boy.
Saint Augustine's mother.
Was she instrumental in the conversion?
Yes.
Who was instrumental in the conversion also of Saint Augustine? You probably learned in Catholic U. One of the Latin fathers of the church. And that was? Who was the one to baptize Saint Augustine? St. Ambrose. Right, Mary? St. Ambrose, yes. St. Ambrose was instrumental in baptizing St. Augustine. So you see how one saint helped another saint to become a great saint. What about today? Claire, you should know the life of your patron saint. You should know her. So what happened was there, about 800 years ago, kind of a wild playboy of the time. His name was Francesco Bernardone. We call him St. Francis. He was wild. And his father would probably be the CEO of Nordstrom today. Yes? Probably because his father owned a wealthy clothes company, and Francis loved to dress like the best man on the block. And so Francis underwent a conversion. There was a battle between two neighboring towns, Assisi and Perugia, and St. Francis ends up in jail. And when he's there, he's able to kind of reflect like St. Ignatius Loyola. And he recognized that his worldly life was not taking him anywhere. So he leaves and decides to give himself to God. And he goes through a radical conversion. And Claire of Assisi, who also came from a very wealthy family, and a good woman working with her mother to help out the poor people and the suffering in the town of Assisi, once she heard a sermon of St. Francis, and she was converted. So she wanted to follow St. Francis. Her parents were not happy campers. They tried to roadblock it. What did she do? She goes to St. Francis, and St. Francis says the best thing would be to go into a Benedictine monastery nearby. Her parents track her down. And they try to drag her out of the convent. She held on to the altar. And you, even to this day, you'll be able to see her nail prints scratched into the altar because they tried to drag her away. And she pulled up her veil and saw that she was almost bald. And she was a very beautiful young woman. So they understood that Claire was not going to give up. So what happened was St. Claire formed another branch of the Franciscans. Maybe you heard that the Franciscans actually have three orders. You've got the male branch, the female branch, and then the third order. Mom was a third order Franciscan when she was married with Dad at the beginning of their married life. So there's three branches, the men, the women, and the lay people. There are a lot of stories in her life. I'll tell you maybe two of my favorite stories. You probably heard them. The Saracens, or if you like, the Muslims, they were invading Assisi, and they're going to invade the convent of the nuns. And Claire would be the superior for about 40 years, even though she didn't have too much health. But she was always the superior, and they only wanted her. So as the Muslims were about to invade, Claire went into the chapel, and she got the host, and she lifted up the monstrance. And the Saracens were terrified and they fled. They never invaded the convent. So we see her great trust in the Eucharist. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to be shocking. Okay, St. Clare lived 800 years ago. She's a patron of television. I should almost let you to look that up. How could that possibly? How could she be the patron of television if this was 800 years ago? Can I tell you why? Can I tell you why, Tommy? Okay, one Christmas, she was so weak that she couldn't go down to the chapel to be at Mass. She was praying, and Jesus appeared to her when she was in her bedroom. So she could actually see the Mass going on in her bedroom and the priest lifting up the host. So she had the vision of the Mass on Christmas. So the church has taken St. Clare as the patron of television. Interesting, isn't it? No? So St. Clare, why was she such a great saint? Not simply because she cut her hair. We can all cut our hair, right? Right? not so much because she had to leave her parents, but especially because she loved God. Yeah. And that's the essence of holiness, is loving God. So let's ask St. Clare to give us a greater love for the Eucharist, because she really loved the Eucharist, and a greater love of God. And that all of us will try to do God's will in our lives. There's a famous writer who lived about 100 years ago, Leo Bloy, and he said this, that the biggest tragedy in our life would be to arrive at the end of life and don't become the saint that God wants us to be. I like that. The biggest tragedy is at the end of our life we don't become the saint that God has called us to be. So let's ask good St. Clare and St. Francis to help us to become the saint that God's calling us to be. Amen.